For critics of our health system, and there are lots and lots of them, a popular solution seems to be simply having more doctors. In fact, teaching hospitals pushed hard for an amendment in the healthcare legislation that's just passed that would increase the number of medical residencies by 15,000 across the country. Shannon Brownlee, a senior fellow at the New America Foundation and author of the book Overtreated, does not think this is a great idea. Shannon, this idea didn't make it into the Senate healthcare bill, right?
No, it did not.
Okay, but are we likely to be hearing a lot more about it now? As we just heard Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid say, for those of you who don't like this bill, this is just the beginning.
Boy, no kidding. We are going to hear more about this. It's a very easy idea to grasp onto. It is very near and dear to the hearts of the academic medical centers, and it could well come up during reconciliation.
Okay, so more doctors sounds like a great idea. Healthcare is a mess. A lot of people don't have access to healthcare. More doctors, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of people in Manhattan that have trouble getting an appointment, not just with a primary care doctor, but also with a specialist. But it's a good thing to remember that Manhattan has one of the highest per capita doctor rates of any part of the country. So the problem is not so much that we don't have enough doctors. It's the fact that our healthcare system is very disorganized in most of the country. Doctors don't talk to each other. And if you don't have a primary care doctor in particular who really is keeping watch over everything that's happening to you, there's a lot of chaos in the system.
All right, well, I want to go to Dr. Moitri Savard. She's a family physician with a private practice in Long Island City, New York. Dr. Savard, you are outside New York City, and Shannon Brownlee mentioned the location of Manhattan. But this is a two-tiered system. Maybe there are more than enough doctors in Long Island City and in Manhattan, but there are huge parts of the country where access to health care, access to primary care in some communities is non-existent.
Well, I would actually even argue that within New York City and Long Island City, there aren't enough doctors, believe it or not, because there aren't many who are in primary care who are open to seeing new patients. And, you know, that is New York City, where there is like a high population concentration of doctors in general, but not a lot who are available to see new patients in primary care. In my neighborhood, we just had a physician retire, and I'm the only primary care provider in this entire neighborhood. So it really does depend where you are, and it's very fragmented.
But Dr. Moitri Savard, let's say this amendment that Shannon's talking about passed. We had 15,000 new primary care physicians. Won't they just flock to the places where they can make the most money? They won't stay in low-income places where people need the most help.
Well, it was my understanding that it wasn't 15,000 primary care physicians. It was just 15,000 slots. Some of them would be allotted to primary care. Is that correct?
And some to expensive specialty care, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that's part of the problem is, a lot of physicians or a lot of medical students are flocking towards the specialties because they're much, much higher paid and, frankly, just an easier job.
Shannon Brownlee.
That's the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is that we could make more slots, but that would not necessarily mean that we would have more of the kind of doctor that we actually do need, which is primary care physicians. So, and family practice doctors, general internists, family practice, and pediatricians, because physicians, young doctors who come out of medical school are not going into these specialties. So the residencies that we have in these specialties now go unfilled.
And Shannon Brownlee, this is a problem that AMA has actually pointed to, that doctors actually are coming out of school with so much debt that they almost can't afford to be primary care physicians, or at least that's the argument.
Well, that's certainly part of it. I mean, the average debt is something like $150,000 to $200,000. Now, lawyers come out with similar debt, but the real problem, I think, is twofold. One is that we pay primary care physicians far less compared to specialists, dramatically less than compared to specialists, and their lives are much more difficult. They juggle a heck of a lot of patients. They are paid poorly. They have mountains of paperwork. And when they're in medical school and in residencies, they're told that being in primary care is sort of a lower form of medicine, which is ridiculous because it's sort of the central part of any kind of decent healthcare system.
Well, Dr. Moitri Savard in Long Island City, this healthcare bill does have some incentives for increasing primary care. It, on the exchanges, it would give more money for primary care, for preventative services, ostensibly, I guess, to make primary care a little bit higher paying and deliver incentives to provide the kind of care that we all say patients need. Will that stuff really help, do you think?
I think that's definitely part of it, is the reimbursements. You'd also have to look at the amount of paperwork that's involved in some of this reimbursement. I mean, it's mountains and mountains of work trying to get paid. Also, looking at patient panels. Right now, most primary care doctors are responsible for a few thousand patients, and that's incredibly burdensome. So they're on this hamster wheel where they're having to see 30, 40 patients a day, you know, partly for reimbursement, partly because that's how many patients they have. If you have more, you know, primary care doctors who are, you know, making a little bit more money, they might be able to, you know, have a patient panel that's more more manageable, where they're not having to see that many patients per day.
Shannon Brownlee, before we let you go, I got to put an idea I have to you. How about a doctor's primary care fund? How about all of the orthopedic surgeons and anesthesiologists who make $500,000 and $600,000 a year, putting 1% of their income towards a primary care fund to boost the salaries of their primary care colleagues? How about that?
It would be a miracle. I think a better way is for payers to pay them better, and for us to forgive their debt. If you go into primary care, you should have your debt forgiven by the U.S. government.
Shannon Brownlee, senior fellow at the New America Foundation, author of Overtreated, Dr. Mortry Savard, family physician in Long Island City. Thank you both for joining us.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.